You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, October 11th. And I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins as we continue our season in review. As the postseason continues, the White Sox beating Houston last night 12-6, I believe was the final. The Red Sox walking off the Rays, Christian Vasquez, unbelievable series of events there in extra innings. The postseason has not disappointed thus far. In the National League, Dodgers knotted up with the Giants Friday night. Braves and Brewers going at it right now. Atlanta with a 3-0 lead in a series that's tied 1-1. That has been pitching heavy, definitely, as expected, between Milwaukee and Atlanta. We've seen some drastic splits between the American League and the National League and offense. Like, there's just so much more offense in the American League in the postseason thus far. Big part of that is the Universal DH. Also, in the National League, like, you have really pitching heavy teams in it. Milwaukee basically winning the Central solely because of their rotation and just pitching depth. The Dodgers, of course, with Max Scherzer and Julio Urias and Walker Buehler, they're going to pitch well. The Giants have pitched well all year with a good offense too, like the Dodgers. Atlanta has a good rotation with Max Fried and Ian Anderson and Charlie Morton. So you're just seeing a lot of pitching heavy matchups in the National League. And that's not a knock. You know, the White Sox, I believe, led all of baseball in pitching F4 this year, wins above replacement. The Red Sox still have Chris Sale, even though he struggled. Nick Pivetta pitched very well last night. Tanner Houck, Mizzou made from Mizzou. Tanner Houck pitching very well for them. And then the Rays, you know, the Rays always pitch well. But the offenses in the American League just jump off the page. Houston's lineup is the best in the world. The White Sox lineup is really tough, really dangerous. We're going to talk about that today and how they beat the Twins all year, too, with that lineup. And a lot of times with a lineup that was really weird-looking and looks a lot different than their lineup does today, the Rays getting Nelson Cruz from the Twins and just adding to their powerful lineup. Wander Franco has been awesome, the best prospect in baseball. Struggled a little bit when he came up, but it's just been unbelievable for them. Brandon Lau had a huge year. Austin Meadows is a good left-handed power bat. They really do. Randy Arozarena, I mean, Randy, in the postseason, we know what he's done. It's amazing. They have a great lineup, too, and they're really duking it out with the Red Sox. That's an elimination game today for the Rays, so we'll see if they can stay alive. White Sox-Astros gets rained out. They'll play tomorrow. That series is 2-1. Could go back to Houston for 5. It's shaping up to be a good battle. And, yeah, the postseason's been really fun. We'll continue to keep you in tune with that. I would say the biggest surprise has to be the Red Sox thus far, right? They've been outstanding. They found ways to win. The offense has broken out in a big way, and they're just putting it all together right now. And I think the Red Sox are a really good example of not high expectations, picked by a lot of people to finish fourth in the American League East, ended up finishing second and hosted the wild card game. But you see what can happen if you get in. If you get in, you find a way to get in. They almost didn't make the playoffs. Rafael Devers hit a huge home run at the end of the regular season in game 162. They would have had to battle their way into the playoffs. If you get in, you can make noise. You play to your strengths. And for the Red Sox, it's their lineup. And when they hit, they win. And they're not going to overwhelm you with their pitching staff. They remind me a lot of the 2019 Twins, where they have a good staff. Like, as I said, they have some arms and they have some guys who can really pitch, but the team runs with their offense, with Verdugo, with J.D. Martinez, with Devers, with Bogarts, with Kike Hernandez, who's had a great year. And we talked a ton about Kike last year as a free agent, as a fit for the Twins. Didn't love his offense, but his bat has played big time for the Red Sox, and their lineup on the whole is just scoring runs. And I think That's an example. What can happen? You get in, you get hot. You know, they could find themselves in the ALCS, duking it out with the Astros or White Sox for a chance to go to the World Series. Who would have thought that about the Red Sox this year? Certainly not me. Did not think that about the Red Sox. Good for them. That's awesome. They got off to that great start. That's what can happen. You get off to a great start, and, you know, second half wasn't probably how they wanted it to go, but they still found a way in, and they're making noise now in the American League. So they'll try to close that out today. For the Twins, they got off to such a poor start. We've continued our season in review, looking back on that start, what it meant for them, and how it kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. We're going to highlight what happened right around the 4th of July and before the break today. There are storylines. Like, there's storylines as I look back and see these things. And there are things that jump out at me as I look back on the season. Things that maybe I didn't see when I was watching at the time or that I didn't realize at the time. So I'm glad we're doing this. We're going to continue our season in review, but we're also going to have report cards coming up for every Twin who appeared. They are coming. Today we're going to look at just the basic free agents. Like, we're just going to name off the list on the three biggest spots the Twins need help. Shortstop, starting pitching, relief pitching, with a lot more weight in starting pitching. So we'll highlight some names there. And we're going to do full free agent profiles this offseason. We're going to do full trade profiles. Just have to pace. You have to pace the podcast when it's 5 days a week, or else you'll run out of stuff, you know. So we'll pace, and we will definitely be diving into a lot of free agent trade. Really excited for that. Loved doing that last year. Had a really good time with it. And you can tell me what you want to hear. And as we get into free agent profiles, probably starting next week, we'll do report cards and profiles. We'll kind of mix them in. You can let me know who you want to hear about. Let me know what you think about trades. You know, I know, you know, some people like to send me trade ideas. I love that. Like, I'll talk about them on the show. I'll talk about them with you, my thoughts, if I think that it's legitimate, and then it just gives me ideas. So I really appreciate that. If you want to reach out at NashWalker9 on Twitter, at Lockdown Twins for the show, DM, tweet, whatever you want to hear, whatever you want to run by. I love talking Twins, and especially love talking Twins in the offseason because I miss them. And we all miss the Twins in the offseason. Maybe not right now, but eventually we'll miss the Twins for sure. You know, and the Vikings are inevitably eliminated from playoff contention. You'll start thinking about baseball again. Let's talk about the Twins and talk about that 4th of July stretch after the break before we dive into the free agent lists. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your very first listen. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. So right around the 4th, the Twins are swept out of Chicago, outscored 28-14. And this is where it got frustrating. The beginning of the year is frustrating, the way that it worked out. But it was almost unbelievable. Like, it's kind of a shock. You're kind of shocked at the beginning of the year when they lost 13 out of 15. You're kind of in this zone of like disbelief. And I'm sure they were. I'm sure the front office was. And a lot of Twins fans were, myself included. Then it started to settle in. Like, it started to settle in that this wasn't a good team and that they weren't going to be good this year and that they weren't going to make the playoffs. And I declared last week that you knew when they had gone to Baltimore and lost and then lost to Kansas City, that stretch where they needed to make up some ground and they didn't, you knew it was over at that point. So at this point, it's over, like right around the 4th. I was in Kansas City for the series on the 4th of July weekend. But shortly before that, the series before, the Twins were just destroyed by the White Sox. And when you look back, the Twins winning 73 games, but they were 6-13 against the White Sox. They lost 10 of their first 12 games against the White Sox. For a couple reasons, that's incredible because the White Sox were without Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, I'm pretty sure, for all 12 of those games. They were playing with a lineup. I mean, you look at some of their lineups that they beat the Twins with that doesn't even match up in the same stratosphere as the Twins lineup, and it's not like the Twins have this amazing lineup. You know, they have upside in their lineup. They clearly have really good players, but the White Sox lineup, the names, you know, minor league, triple A, just not guys you've heard of in their lineup, and they still found ways to beat the Twins. Excellent starting pitching, a deep bullpen definitely played into that. But they scored a lot of runs too. Their offense was legit good for a lot of those series and at the beginning of the season. Twins lost 12 of their first 15 games, against the White Sox. They were outscored by an average of 2.74 runs on the season. So they are outscored by almost 3 runs per game by the White Sox. That includes their wins in that, in their full record, outscored by an average of almost 3 runs on a per game basis. The Sox offense versus the Twins this year, they hit .276 with an .866 OPS. They slugged .513. They scored nearly 6.5 runs per game. The Sox offense versus everyone else hit .254, so 22 points less. Their on-base percentage was almost 20 points less, and their slugging percentage was 103 points less against everyone else than it was against the Twins. Their OPS was 122 points less at .744, and they scored 4.7 runs per game, so almost 2 runs per game less against everyone else than they did against the Twins. They made hay against the Twins. There was some intent. They were not going to get beat by the Twins this year, and they played the Twins super well and took advantage of their pitching staff. That 4th of July weekend in Kansas City, it was frustrating. As I'm saying it, it kind of transferred into this frustration period where you're just more like annoyed. You're waiting for the break. You're waiting to get a little bit of a chance to breathe, and I'm sure they were too. And I think fan morale might have been at an all-time low at this point because you want to watch baseball. You want to watch baseball around the holiday. You want to watch in the summer. You want to go to games. And for some people, it doesn't matter. Like you're gonna go to games anyway. You're gonna go enjoy it. But for fans who follow the team closely and even casually, like knowing that they're not good, I think this point of the season was maybe when morale was at an all-time low. Maybe I'm saying that for every period. Maybe I'm saying that for every single review of a time period, that it was an all-time low for fan morale. But I think at this point, you looked ahead, you know that Cruz was inevitably going to be traded, that Barrios was probably going to be traded in a couple weeks, and you're getting toward the break and you know things are already done. It was just sad. Like, it was just a sad feeling, and they weren't playing well at all. And you know, you see Max Kepler's hitting like a .199, another fan favorite, and that all that just sucks. And then Donaldson on a doubles rounding first and pulls up lame again in Kansas City, hamstring. I think he only ended up missing about 5 games, but it's another one of those things that you add to the shots. The White Sox beat the Twins 6-1 with this lineup. This is what I mean. Tim Anderson, who we know is a star, you know, all-star player. Gavin Sheets hitting second, a rookie. Jose Abreu third, who just destroyed the Twins this year. Brian Goodwin hit fourth in that lineup. Adam Engel hit fifth. Leury Garcia hit sixth. Leury Legend had a big game last night. That's what they call him. It's unreal, like what they've gotten out of some of these role players. Jake Berger hit seventh. Billy Hamilton hit eighth. And then their third or fourth catcher on the depth chart, Sebi Zavala, hit ninth. And that team beat the Twins 6-1. And that's why it was so frustrating. It's like they just weren't winning games against the Sox were finding ways to win, and it was a credit to them. Like, they found ways to win games behind great pitching, and also they found ways to score runs, and they took advantage of the Twins pitching staff, and it was a beatdown for a lot of the season. The Twins did sweep Detroit going into the break. I think they improved to 39-50, and during that time, Jorge Polanco really kind of began his torrid July and began his torrid second half at that point. Hit .327 in July, slugged .548 in 26 games, .366 on base, 6 homers, 5 doubles, and drove in 20 runs in 26 games and 25 starts. Jorge Polanco began that in that Detroit series. Then they lost their first 3 in Detroit out of the break. So remember, they played the Tigers 7 times in a row, lost the first 3 out of the break. And anytime they would get that momentum, it would be halted. And that's that was kind of the name of the game for the Twins. We'll continue on with the season in review tomorrow. Let's look at the free agent class, just getting an early look at what we're dealing with here and who the Twins should target after the break. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs, nerves for a type 1 diabetic like me, that is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. So you look at the three main positional groups that the Twins need help in, and it is similar to last year, but there's just more weight in the starter category. They needed starting pitching last year. They needed a shortstop, and they needed relievers, and that's what they went out and got. And they've gotten creative in recent years. You know, they've gotten creative with guys that they've signed. Josh Donaldson, I thought, was a very creative signing to put him at third and move Sano over to first to fill that void at first base. You did it within, and then you got better at both positions, basically, or that was the intention, to get better at both positions. But starting pitching, we know, is the main target. That's where their funds should probably be going, or their assets should be going. You know, if they're going to make trades and they have cash to spend, it should be going to starting pitching. If they're going to trade prospects, going to trade players, you know, a majority of that should be going to starting pitching. But there needs to be a balance, right? You need to both trade and pay and fill all these holes. You need a reliever, at least one right-handed high-leverage reliever. You need a shortstop, whether that shortstop's on the roster or not. That opens up a hole probably somewhere else. I don't think they're going to move Jorge Polanco back to short. Lavelle wrote about that. It's an interesting idea, and we'll investigate this offseason, but you know, you can get better by signing a shortstop. Looking at the starting pitching for agent class, Marcus Stroman's going to be a guy we talk about all offseason. Kevin Gausman, we're going to talk about all offseason. Two right-handers, both have had great years. Stroman in New York for the Mets, Gausman in San Francisco for the Giants, continues to pitch in the playoffs. Carlos Rodon, who had an amazing season for the White Sox, going to start game four tomorrow. He's been a White Sox for life, so I don't see him signing with the Twins. Clayton Kershaw, elbow issues could be it for him. If it's not, he's going back to the Dodgers. You know that. Eduardo Rodriguez, who had a tough year for Boston, but was great in 2019. Robbie Ray had a Cy Young level season, will probably win the American League Cy Young Award for the Blue Jays as a free agent. Zach Greinke, Max Scherzer, Anthony DeSclafani, John Gray, Alex Wood, the lefty, another San Francisco guy who had success this year. So DeSclafani, Wood, and Gausman, all free agents and all had pretty solid seasons for the Giants, varying levels. Alex Cobb had a pretty good year, you know, ground ball guy, I believe, with the sinker. Not overwhelming stuff, but had a solid season. Andrew Heaney, not a good year. Pitched for the Angels, pitched for the Yankees. Could be a buy low guy, the lefty. Steven Matz is someone I really like. Blue Jays, he pitched very well this year, a lefty. And when you look at the Twins, a lot of their top pitching prospects, and they're bringing back Ober and Ryan, are right-handed, so I would think they would sign at least one lefty like they did with J-Hap last year, but I wouldn't just sign a lefty to sign a lefty, if that makes sense. Dylan Bundy had a really bad year for the Angels, but was good in 2020. I like him as a bounce-back candidate. Corey Kluber has been just on and off the injured list, as we know, for years now, but higher upside, maybe can give you, if he can give you 100 and 120 innings, you're probably going to like the results. Drew Smyly, lefty, Braves signed him. Decent season, I guess. I don't think he's going to pitch in the playoffs, so that kind of tells you the year that he had, maybe a fourth or a fifth starter. James Paxton blew out his elbow in his first start of 2021. I was watching that game against the White Sox, and that just sucks for him because he's super talented, super fun to watch, and maybe if Paxton can come back healthy, he could help the Twins for a limited, you know, limited inning count. Noah Syndergaard's the same, kind of the same boat there, coming off Tommy John. Don't know how many innings he can give you, but he'll probably give you really good innings when he pitches, ace level upside. Justin Verlander, also coming off Tommy John. Don't know what he's going to give you, but will probably be good, whatever he gives you. And then Rich Hill, old friend Rich Hill. I think he's maybe 43 now. I don't know if he's that old, but he had a pretty decent year. He got traded, had a good year. The curveball still plays. I don't know if the Twins would bring him back, though. That would be interesting. At shortstop, of course, we know it's a star-studded group. Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Javier Baez, Corey Seager kind of highlight that group. Francisco Lindor would have been in that group too, but he signed the extension with the Mets. Jose Iglesias, who's had some good defensive seasons but kind of had a down year. Freddy Galvis, the switch hitter. Andrelton Simmons, our buddy, is a free agent again. Andrew Romine and then Marcus Semien, who played second for Toronto. I don't know if a team would move him back to short, but he could probably play some second and short. Played shortstop in Oakland, and I believe played shortstop in Chicago too for the White Sox before that. So, You could sign him with the intent of playing third, second, short, getting guys off their feet. Semien, the Twins were interested. Last offseason, he ended up hitting 40-plus homers. Relievers, Raisel Iglesias. I'm going to be straightforward with you. Would love Raisel Iglesias. Insane stuff. He's probably going to get the biggest contract of the offseason among these relievers. Great closer for the Angels. Just dominant. Dominant. Raisel Iglesias would be my number one target if I'm looking for a shutdown right-handed high leverage option. Kenley Jansen, listed as a free agent, would think he'd go back to the Dodgers. Craig Kimbrell is a $16 million club option with the White Sox. With the way he's pitched with them, I don't see them picking that up, especially when they already have an expensive reliever on the books in Liam Hendricks. Ryan Tepera, who pitched very well last night for the Sox, is a free agent, had a really good year. Aaron Loop had an amazing year, under one ERA for the Mets this year. Aaron Loop is an interesting option. Andrew Chafin, the lefty, has a mutual option. Usually those are not picked up. He had a good year. Mark Melanson had a tremendous year for San Diego. He's got a mutual option. Kendall Graveman for the Astros, monster stuff, traded from the Mariners for Abraham Toro. You know, high leverage, high leverage right-handed reliever. Hector Neris has big-time stuff. Brad Hand, our buddy, Maple Grove, right? Brad Hand. Yimi Garcia, Trevor Rosenthal, Adam Ottavino, Brad Boxberger, Luis Garcia, Daniel Norris, Brian Shaw, Ian Kennedy. So what you'll find is like there are a ton of relievers. There are a ton of relievers that you can sign. And a lot of guys with high upside and big time stuff. So I'm not worried about that. I wasn't worried about it last offseason. I'm sorry, Brad Hand's Chaska. I should have known that. Chaska, of course. Chaska High School legend, Brad Hand. I think he said last offseason to Doogie that he'd like to sign with the Twins, or he would, you know, it'd be fun to sign with the Twins. Of course, his hometown club still has family up there. But there are a lot of relievers. There are a lot of guys that you can wait on. When I say I'd like them to be aggressive, I mean more with starters and a shortstop early in the offseason. Boost fan morale, get a baseline, and then you can move forward and find those cheaper options or those maybe the value options later on in the offseason. But as far as aggression, I'd like to see them go get their guy, whether it be a starter or a shortstop early on. Thanks for listening. We have free agent profiles coming for, I'd say, all these guys. And I'm excited. You know, some guys will get their own episode. Some guys will have two guys in an episode. But I'm looking forward to it. I really appreciate you listening today. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your very first listen. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Go Twins.